Thanks for joining me, Anthony. Thanks for joining me, Marla. Thanks for joining me, Carter. Carter, this is
SOS, baby.
Thank you for watching.
If you ever looking just to get by, everything else is what I'm crying. Why you turn it into a big lie? Babylon cannot deny.
Free from Babylon. Babylon, come make me shut it down.
Well, good evening, folks. Good evening. That was an introduction from Jane McGizmo, a very good friend of mine and almost like my daughter from Mandeville. She is an upcoming artist, and the song Babylon. I chose that on purpose tonight because of the topic that we're going to be covering here tonight. Now, folks, like I said, the normal way I would connect to you would be through Skype, and that seems to have been working well since February. Tonight, for some reason, I can't connect to you through Skype, so basically I'm connecting to you directly to the board. So if you're not hearing me or if there's a problem here, what I'm asking you to do is to just message me. For those of you who are on my Facebook page, the link is on my Facebook page. It's Anthony, thanks for joining me. What I'd like you to do, hello and good day to you too, sir, Mr. Anthony, Chloe, all the way up there in Canada. How's things up there, my brother? Hey, folks, we have a great show for you tonight. A little bit controversial. There's going to be some griping. There's going to be some complaining. But there's going to be some logical presentations of my thoughts as to why I'm complaining about the things I'm complaining about. Patricia, thanks for joining. Nicole, thanks for joining. Josette, thanks for joining. Kerry, thanks for joining. Anne-Marie, hey, Anne-Marie, my daughter-in-law just informed me today that I'm going to be the father, I'm the grandfather of another grandson. So I got two grandsons now. The Harrison name goes on. Okay, back to the show. Thank you, Anne-Marie, and thanks, Josh, for delivering me another grandson. Hey, this is the CRSRadio.com, the Caribbean Radio Show. We're the information station, and thank you, Dr. F, for allowing us this platform to be able to talk about a lot of things that are affecting us in the Caribbean positively, some of it controversially, some of it, we'd like some participation. If you're on Facebook, go to CRSRadio.com. There's a link there that you can click on if you want to listen to the show there. Patricia, thanks for joining me. As usual, one of my followers and a very good friend of mine, and very involved with what we're doing here at CRIV. And she and Nicole, they just continuously keep in touch to find out when are they going to be able to come to the South Coast. The reason I emphasize that, folks, is as you may have or may not have heard, Jamaica has opened up to visitors and residents to come back to Jamaica, but only along a northern corridor and only among a few selected hotels, which somehow, some way, turned out to be the all-inclusive, and the regular hotels are, once again, where we practice eco-community tourism being left out of the picture. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Again, folks, I would really appreciate it if you have a question or you want to talk to me tonight. The number to call in and get a pen and write this down is 661-467-2407. 661-467-2407. On my Facebook page, or on CRSRadio.com on Facebook, you will find a link there as well. Okay? that you can listen to the show from the link, or you can actually call into the show, and if you want to talk to me or ask me a question, just press the number 1 on your phone, and then I know that you want to talk to me, all right? So what is the topic of tonight's show? The Jamaica South Coast Show is presented to you live from Alligator Pond in the parish of Manchester. Yes, on the border of St. Elizabeth. And yes, Alligator Pond was at one time belonged to St. Elizabeth. However, St. Elizabeth, Alligator Pond is Manchester's now, and it's been Manchester's for a while, so we're going to keep it. I love Alligator Pond. That's why I retired to Alligator Pond. Why am I saying that? Because one of the reasons I am doing this show and one of the reasons I retired to this area is because of my passion and my love for eco-community tourism. What's eco-community tourism? Eco-community tourism allows visitors to come and enjoy Jamaica while interacting with our culture, interacting with the people, interacting and bringing sustainable income to the communities. The business that benefits from eco-community tourism are usually locally owned. The vendors are usually locally owned. Marblehead is from Manchester Grove Place. Great, I know that area very well. The thing is that eco-community tourism allows for distribution of wealth throughout the local community while keeping those communities intact and not changing them very much. Now, for those of you who know the North Coast and the South Coast, knows that on the North Coast, and I'm not for one moment saying that there's anything wrong with this, but on the North Coast, most hotels and or resorts have migrated into the all-inclusive situation. Is all-inclusive a bad thing? No. There is a market for all-inclusive. But we have, right out there now, watching me and listening to this radio show, we have Patricia from Texas. We have Nicole from Pennsylvania. We have quite a few people. Samantha is also watching, who, from knowing, some of them know me personally, some of them know of me, they know that they want to experience what the average tourist does not. Why am I actually emphasizing this tonight? Well, here's the reason. The Jamaican government, back in February when I came home, a few weeks later announced some COVID-19 coronavirus measures that they took. The country was not in a shutdown, but there were some very, really strict restrictions, okay? Nobody was allowed to come into the country from abroad. Nobody was allowed to come in as visitors. People in Jamaica got stuck, couldn't leave Jamaica to go back. People from Jamaica that lived abroad were not able to come back to Jamaica because we just shut everything down as far as incoming visitors. As we progress, we shut down the beaches, we shut down the churches, we shut down the bars, we shut down hotels to visitors. Jamaicans could go from hotels to hotels, but visitors couldn't come into hotels. No. It was a novel virus, it was a new virus. Nobody had any idea the potential damage that this virus would do to the population. So Prime Minister Andrew Holness and Minister of Health, Dr. Christopher Tufton, took certain measures to protect us here in Jamaica. And as most of you who are listening to that show know, I 100% supported them at onset of this. Now, I have started to make some changes in my position on how they are currently handling the situation. And I have been getting some flack from the same people that heard me supporting them a couple months ago, do not realize that my change has a logical sequence of statistical and also some points to make that folks if you look at it and you listen to it, you might not agree. And it's okay to not agree. But I ask you, if you don't, or even if you do and you want to reinforce what I'm going to say here tonight, to give me a call. If you're in the United States of America, it's not a phone call. I know a lot of you, like Patricia and Nicole. I see my Aunt Alice is watching. Charles Maxwell, as usual, my brother, is always joining us in here. What I'm asking you to do is to just listen out. And I would like some input tonight, if I can get some. Okay? And if I can, write this number down. You can call in, press 1 on your phone. I'll know you want to talk to me. 661-467-2407. If you're in Jamaica listening to the show right now, unfortunately, it's not a toll-free call for you. So what you want to do is, if you call in 661-467-2407, and I see it's a Jamaica call, I am going to bump you to the top so I can take your call real quickly. Okay, so you don't have to use up your credit. Okay, a little bit thirsty, folks. Here's the red stripe for quenching the thirst. Now, what has happened, folks, is we had what some people refer to as a lockdown. I don't call it a lockdown in Jamaica because a lot of places were left open. Some of the places that were left open in Jamaica was things that were economically necessary, like Western Union, banks, supermarkets, markets, etc. Did I have a problem with it back then? No. Do I have a problem with it now? No. I'm telling you that, and keep that in your memories for a little bit, because there's a sequence of things that I'm going to be trying to bring to you tonight. Now, during the whole process, okay, of the lockdown of Jamaica, we had one of the lowest cases of confirmed, okay, positive cases in Jamaica. Confirmed. Note the word confirmed in what I'm saying, okay? Because that confirmed thing is going to be kind of taken apart by me a little bit further down into this show. So we had a very low case of confirmed cases. We had a very, very low death rate. We had one of the best records compared to the rest of the world. The preconceived idea, though, was that this was because of the lockdown or the restrictions that the Jamaican government. Hey, Andrea, welcome, my friend. Welcome to the show. And I stay with me for a little bit, because what happened with you also has irked me quite a bit. The thing is, folks, is people will say that the restrictions were necessary. And in some ways, they were. But if you're living here in Jamaica and you see what was going on in Jamaica throughout all of these restrictions and closures, you would understand that the closing of the bars, the closing of the churches, the closing of the beaches, okay, the closing of a lot of things here in Jamaica really did not contribute to keeping the low infection rate in Jamaica. Why do I say that? Because I live here in Jamaica. I've been living here in Jamaica since February. I moved back home. I saw before the restrictions, during the restrictions, and after the restrictions were lifted. Why am I making that point? Because before the restrictions, and I'm going to bring Alligator into this now, which is where I live. Alligator Chester, okay? Portland may be my favorite parish, but I chose to come back to Alligator Pond because this is where I grew up, folks. I grew up in this area. What was happening before COVID? Okay? Oh, by the way, I'm getting a little note here, and I'd like you guys to understand this. And Andrea, if you can, you know, give me a quick call and we can talk about it. It's 661-467-2407, because I'd love you to tell this story. But if you look back now, before, and I'm going to use Alligator Pond as an example, but it is typical of what was going on in the country of people that I have talked to, okay? And the people that I've talked to in other areas and been through before the restrictions were operating in the same way. People are going about their business, doing everything, going to the bank, going to the store, going to the beach, going to the club, going to the dance hall sessions, going out to a party, going to the attractions, and all of that. I personally was able to do that before they locked the country down in those areas. So then now comes COVID-19. And the government of Jamaica took some very, very prudent steps. And I will tell you, I was 100% supportive of those steps that the government took. 100%. Because we weren't aware of or did have no knowledge as to how this virus was going to affect us. So I supported them. So here comes now the closures. We closed the churches, we closed the beaches, we closed all entertainment, no more bass artists, no more Star Lord, no more Wire Spas, no more Duns River, no more Noisy River, no more Lover's Leap, no more Little Ocean, no more Oswald's, no more Alligator Pond River, because we closed the beaches and we closed all rivers. Okay? We closed the churches. No gatherings at funerals. All of those were done to stop what they said was the spread or to contain the spread. And make no mistake, the government of Jamaica never said that they were going to be able to combat or stop the virus by taking these measures. What they said was, or what our government, because once elected, you become my government, whether I back your party or not. The fact is, once you are elected by the people of this country, Jamaica, where I live, you are my representative for the next 5 years until the election, which is probably going to be just around the corner right now. So, make no mistake, okay? When the government said, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, the idea of not stopping the spread, but controlling and containing the spread. Because there is nothing to stop the spread. We can't today, yesterday, or before stop the spread of COVID-19. It's going to spread, folks. And it's going to spread no matter what we do. Now, to contain the spread is a good measure. We go and we have these closures. Now, the beaches, which is what I'm talking about, something that the Minister of Local Government said on Monday is getting me extremely upset right now. And we're going to cover that. But close down the beaches, close down the churches, close down the bars, right? Close down workplaces in some areas. Like call centers were closed down. Now, bear in mind, folks, that of all the confirmed cases in Jamaica right now, almost or more than half of them can be contact traced to one workplace, one call center. Only one call center in Jamaica. It was almost 300 cases to do with that one call center. Why am I emphasizing this? Because all call centers are open back up. Right? Yet the epicenter, the biggest epicenter in Jamaica, was at one call center. Well, let's go to another topic. During this shutdown of the beaches, the churches, and the bars, Western Union stayed open, right? The banks still stayed open. Those of you out there listening to me from Jamaica right now, you let me ask you a question, and you honestly answer this question. When you went to the Western Union office during the shutdown, was there any social distancing being observed? Was there any no gathering being observed? Go to Scotiabank or NCB Bank right here in Mandeville and Junction right now. Is there any social distancing? Yes, the little round dots are there. But guess what? People not going to stay out in the sun. Them coming up there, and you can stand on that round dot all you want, there's going to be 4, 5, 6 people around you. And guess what, folks? None of them putting on the mask until them have to when I'm going to the bank, or when I'm going to the Western Union, or when I'm going to Juicy B, or when I'm going to the supermarket. Okay? They're not putting on a mask. Mandeville, during the shutdown, the markets were open. The squares were still full of people. Okay? This is during the shutdown. The beaches, Alligator Pond River, I can tell you, became busier during the shutdown of the beaches than when the beaches were open. Why? Because churches and bars were closed. So because the churches and bars were closed, all the church people came to the river to do their baptism. All the bars moved the bars in the back of car trunks down to Alligator Pond River. And they sold their liquor out of the trunks of their car. So on a Saturday and a Sunday and a Monday here in Alligator Pond, by the river, 300, 400, 500, 600 people were there every weekend. Said way. Said way is the way we say it in Jamaica. Those of you who are Americanized and English rise and stuff, same way. Just as usual. The crowds were gathering during the closure of the beaches. The police from Alligator Pond would come down and break the crowds up. This is during the time that the beaches were closed. At the same time, the places that were left open, like Western Union, Bank of Nova Scotia, Scotia Bank, we'll call it down here, NCB, Jamaica National, you know, all the money transfer places, they were all still open. But when you go by those establishments, they were all still crowded. So, government closed down the bars, they closed down the churches, and they closed down the beaches. Okay? Then the government opened up the bars with restrictions, opened up the churches with restrictions, but didn't open up the beaches and didn't open up the rivers. Okay? Now, bear in mind, folks, COVID-19 is a respiratory disease. Respiratory diseases, as we traditionally know it, are treated how? By nebulizer treatments. What do we use in nebulizer treatments for the most in content? Saline. What's saline? Salt. The Caribbean Sea. Nowhere no saltier than the Caribbean Sea. So, if I'm not a doctor, but if you figure this out, logically speaking, we have the Caribbean Sea here in Alligator Pond, by the river and the sea. We also have 90-something degrees weather every single day of the week, and we have the hottest sand in the country. COVID-19 don't stand much of a chance against that. So, our beaches are closed. Churches open back up. The bars open back up. Once those places open back up, less people started coming to the beaches. Right? Why? Because now they could go back to their business. So the pastor didn't have to come to the river to the baptisms anymore. And the bars didn't have to bring the liquor down to the river to sell anymore. This is Alligator Pond. But typically speaking, this is kind of what happened throughout most, not all, but most of the rivers and seas throughout Jamaica during the shutdown. The bars that didn't come to the beach, they still opened up in the back, or they took their liquor over to the homes and the customers came and supported them at their homes. So now the government opened back up the bars and the churches, and then a few weeks later, after much protest, they opened back the beach. I've spent about half an hour on this show so far on that one trend and that one thought. So folks, if you want to comment about what I've said so far, because I'm going to go into another part of this now, you can call me at 661-467-2407 or go to crsradio.com, click on the link that's there, and you can listen to the show there. If you have a question, I see a couple of callers on the screen here. If you have a question, then press 1 on your phone, and I'll take your call, and then we can talk a little bit about what's going on. Okay, so now the government opens back up the beaches and the rivers conditionally, which I can get. I get that. The church is conditionally. I get that. The bar is conditionally. I kind of get that because basically speaking, the way they open up the bars, it was mostly geared towards alcoholics or people who just go to the bars to drink liquor because we weren't allowed to sit in the bars, we weren't allowed to socialize, and we weren't allowed to play our dominoes. We're not allowed to do all of that stuff. Did that stop anybody? Hell no. Okay? Why I'm making that point is because people still carried on their lives as usual. Now, we can debate the topic that less people did it. I will debate that with you that in some areas of Jamaica, yes, but in a lot of areas in Jamaica, people didn't care because they know they could monitor it and they know that there's no way that the government would be able to stop them. So once in a while, the police could afford to come shut down the river. But after the police gone, everybody was right back by the river again. Same thing with the bars. Same thing with everything else. During the shutdown, and even after the opening with the restrictions. So now, the beaches are open back up, and the rivers are open back up, and all of a sudden, last Monday, Minister of Local Government, Mr. McKenzie, is going to come on the air because they sent and planted Social Development Commission down here by the river from 11 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m. on last Sunday. Now, mark, folks, during the entire closure, you know, of the beaches, Social Development Commission didn't come down here not even one time. Not even once. But now that the beaches are open back up and the rivers are open back up, Social Development came down here and spent 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. taking videos, taking photographs, and reporting in that there's about 600 people on Alexander. I think it was more like about 300 and something, which even if that is too much based on the social distancing and the gathering, I'll concede that based on the rules. My point, though, is those rules were not being followed that whole time. Why am I always making that point? Because if we go by the government statistics, there's no reason to restrict Alligator Pond and go close our beaches again, which is what Mr. McKenzie threatened. And one cannot help but wondering if there's an ulterior motive behind all of this. Because here's my reasoning. We have cases in Jamaica that are confirmed. We have an 80% recovery rate that's confirmed. We have had 10 deaths, I think, that's confirmed. And one death is too much, but 10 deaths is all we've had. We've had only 2 people in ICU so far, right now. The only reason that recovery rate is not higher is because, like, for example, right now, I have a friend in Mandeville who her 14-day quarantine has ended. Okay, she was on it with me earlier tonight, Andrea. And she went through a horrendous coming back into the country. The swab that they gave up her nose almost went to the back of her throat. After she did everything in Florida before coming home, they still did everything over again and then sent her home from Mandeville, from Kingston to Mandeville with a bag of chips and a small bottle of water to drink because she was not allowed to stop at a restaurant. Now, 14 days have passed, so she's not in quarantine anymore. Guess what, folks? She didn't get her test results back yet, but she's out of quarantine. So she's been quarantined until the test results can prove that she's recovered. But after the 14 days is up, she can go wherever the hell she wants to go. Does that make sense to you? Why am I making that point? Because the fact of the matter is, if they're really and truly doing these tests to confirm whether there's cases or not, they would not have let her come out of the 14-day quarantine and or they would have gotten results back to let her know that she's negative and she's free to go. So, moving to another point. we allowed our residents of Jamaica to return and come back to Jamaica. Okay? Good thing. Constitutionally, it's their right. Constitutionally, any Jamaican abroad that needs to come back to the yard should be allowed to. I agree with under certain conditions. But all of a sudden now, every single day on the air, we're hearing we have 9 new cases of COVID-19 in Jamaica, 6 new cases, 4 new cases, 7 new cases, of which most of them are imported. What that does, folks, is it leads our people to believe that people coming from abroad are the only ones bringing COVID-19 into Jamaica. And yes, originally, that's how it arrived here. But once the virus arrives here, the issue is not whether or not the virus is being brought here or not. It's already here, isn't it? Okay, so what are we supposed to be looking at right now? We're supposed to be looking at, for the last 4 months, what type of effect this virus has had on the population of Jamaica. So now they say, well, all these people coming in are bringing in the virus. No. The virus is already here. The virus is going to spread no matter whether these people come into Jamaica or not. Because it's here. It's a highly contagious virus. So, them coming in and the 6 and the 9 and the 8 and this, remember, folks, that's only because they're being 100% being tested. They're 100% being tested, which means that if they're 100% being tested, statistically, those of you out there listening to me right now, any of you have studied statistics or probability? Well, if we have studied statistics and probability, you know, if you take a sample, for example, when I worked for IBM, and I used to go out and I used to do quality control engineering for IBM, I used to go out to the vendors and do what's called an accepted quality level, otherwise known as AQL. What AQL means is if a customer is going to ship us 50,000 bolts, what do I do? Do I inspect all 50,000 bolts to make sure no defective bolts come to IBM? No. I take a sample, which is an accepted level, because the statistics come up with an idea that if I take 100 bolts and inspect it and I get 100 perfect bolts, chances are I don't have any defective bolts. Does that mean I don't have any defective bolts? No. It means that I have an accepted quality level. At the end of the day, it's the same thing with COVID-19. If you're testing 9,000 returning residents of Jamaica, you're going to get positive results. Do you know what the COVID-19 rates is, positive confirmed rates are here in Alligator Pond, Manchester? Yes. Zero. Zero, as in none. Now, do you really and truly think we have zero cases in Alligator Pond? So why then do we have zero? Because nobody in Alligator Pond has gotten sick enough to the point that they had to go to a doctor or a hospital or anywhere else so that the suspicions would be raised, so that they would be tested. Because I personally can guarantee you right now that if you came to Alligator Pond, Minister of Health, and you tested 5,000 people down here in Alligator Pond, you're going to get some positives. Or you're going to get at least antibodies. Why do I say so? Because most of the symptoms, even of the positive cases that they found here of the returning residents in Jamaica, are asymptomatic. You get the virus, you didn't have a symptom, you're covered from it, and you didn't even know you had the virus. And that, folks, can be a logical sequence of events, and there's many researchers out there today that agrees with what I'm saying right now. So when you take all of that and you look at that, okay, and you see that if we go by statistics, we opened up the airports to bring in visitors to only a certain section of Jamaica, We open it for returning residents, but they have to be quarantined. They can go back to the air of Jamaica, some of which are right here now to get up on. Okay? We did all of that. Okay? But we're still keeping the entertainment closed. We still can't have the Bass Odyssey. We still can't have the Star Lord. We can't even go sit down and play some dominoes in a bar. And to top it off, Minister Mackenzie is going to say him threatening to close down Alligator Pond Beach again because there were so many people down here last Sunday. Because it will cause COVID-19 to spread. Minister Mackenzie, where you been last 3 months? Where you been last 4 months? You never get the reports about Alligator Pond? Yes, Carol. Antibodies because the swabs give small positive and negative if not properly performed. All right. So let me ask you a question, Minister Mackenzie. What you did in the last 3-4 months? Okay? When Alligator Pond had the same amount of people coming before the closure, during the closure, and now after the closure, and yet still we're at zero. So either something is wrong here with your statistics, or the fact of the matter is, we're just that damn good in Alligator Pond that we're not going to get any COVID-19. So you make up your mind which one it is. 80% this today at the river. You would believe how many people were here. Some of them actually came over to where I live to have a drink and to use our facility. And none of them were from Alligator Pond. And most of them were from areas in which infection rates are high. That never changed. As a matter of fact, when you close down St. Catherine, Minister, a lot of them found themselves in Alligator Pond. And yet still, by your statistics, not my statistics, but by your very own statistics, we have zero confirmed cases in Alligator Pond. So you're going to take that crowd from last Sunday that you sent Social Development Commission in here to look at us and check us out so that you can make a case to go in Parliament on Monday or in a news conference, because Parliament is Tuesday. You can go in your news conference to say, because of what happened in Alligator Pond, there are this many people here. You're thinking about you might have to close the beaches back down again if people continue to do this. Then tell you what. Yes, Andrea, you're right. Lock down Kingston. Lock down Mandeville. Lock down Black River. Lock down Santa Cruz. Lock down Montego Bay. Lock down St. Anne's Bay. Lock down everywhere that right now that's open. Like when I was in Mandeville day before yesterday, I couldn't move because I was bouncing into people. And you going to talk to me about closing down the river down here where we have all this space, we have the salt water, and we can always be washing off in the salt water. I'm not going to say I don't agree that people need to space themselves out, and we have enough space down here to do it. But to tell me that because of what you heard down here, you are going to think now about closing down the beaches in Jamaica again. Justify it by saying that it's because you're trying to contain a spread. How are you going to justify that you're trying to contain a spread? Okay? When you still keep Western Union open. I went to Junction earlier this morning. You should see the line at Western Union crumped up against each other. Yesterday I went to Scotiabank to get some money from the ATM. One man cut the line and the other man came up and put in face arguing, and both of them take the mask off, and the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people around them arguing. The security guard was right there and couldn't do nothing. And that's how it's been. Yes, there's zero cases according to your statistics, not mine. Because if you went by my statistics, I would tell you, say, it's not 700 cases we have in Jamaica. We're more like 7,000. The only thing is, you might think that's a bad thing and I'm being negative. No, I'm not. Because what that is telling me, folks, is that, yes, COVID-19 is something that we need to handle. But COVID-19 is not as bad as the governments of the world is making it out to be. Because if you look at it, okay, and Carol, you're right. Carol saying it's already spread because Portmore left immediately to other parishes. Carol, 100% right. When Portmore closed, Prime Minister Andrew Holness gave them a two-hour window. By the next day, there was five right here in Alligator Pond. Okay? Guess what? According to your statistics, government, we have zero cases in Alligator Pond. Explain that to me. So you see the sequence of my logic, folks? And if you notice my commentary about this episode, okay, was pretty much this. The double standards that exist when deciding what to open, what to close, what to restrict, what not to restrict, is creating the very problem that the Jamaican government is trying to contain. Okay? I just, you know, it is not possible, government. It is not possible. Okay? Absolutely not possible to get conformance with COVID-19 rules when the rules and the goalposts are changed consistently merely because of special interests. Okay? So, let me ask, the visitors coming into the country today, areas that the government has somehow qualified that they can accommodate COVID-19. Okay? No, Carol, no one has tested in Alligator Pond, so that's why the stats are off. Nobody has been tested. I agree. 100% agree with you. And the rest of Jamaica as well. Because the only people that's being tested is to fit the mold that the government wants us to believe. Because if you look at it, right, the corridor that they opened up for tourists to go to, St. James, St. Anne, Portland, Kingston, and St. Andrew, I'm not sure. I think they're open up for business, visitors for business. Okay. Negril has kept, I know, has kept a really low rate, so I can't pick on them. But St. James, St. Anne, Trelawney, they have high COVID-19 rates. Yet, the corridor that the government allowed visitors to come to are all along that corridor. People are saying, well, yeah, but they're keeping them enclosed in the all-inclusive, right? So they can't spread it. So are they cooking their own food? Are they making their own bed? Are they checking themselves in? Are they cleaning the pools that they're swimming in? Are they cleaning the bars that they're drinking from? Are they serving their drinks in that bar? No. It's us a service. It's us a get up from 4 yards from the infected areas to go to those hotels to work, take care of them, and go back home. So if any of them in there positive, we're carried back into the same communities that you, Mr. Government, claim that you're trying to protect. And I'm not saying you're wrong for opening it up, because we need to open up the country. We need to open up everything. Okay? With restrictions. But my question to you is, how did you qualify these facilities to take care of COVID-19 preventative measures and not qualify any of the facilities over here on the south coast of Jamaica and any of the facilities that provide eco-community tourism benefits to our visitors to this country? You're going to break in and leave us out without even telling us what your criteria is, without even telling us what you expect from us. And I can guarantee you that if you did, and right now, we probably would conform and are conforming better, because we don't have as many people. We're not as congested. We don't have the gathering. and we do. What about the crowd at the river? Why is there such a crowd at the river? What happens? Folks, society needs to be socialized. When you see people at the river, okay, crowded together, most of those people live together. They work together. The same workplaces that you open up, Mr. Minister, Alarica is open again. Call centers are open again. The banks never closed. Western Union never closed. And yet there were some of the biggest violators and still are right now till today. I don't hear you saying anything about closing them down. That's what I'm telling you. If you went close down our beaches and rivers, make sure so you close down everything. Because we are not going to forget that. And especially here on the South Coast, why is it somebody on this show would be talking like this, sound so political and so angry? It's not politics, folks. As I said, I supported the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health initially. My problem is how they're selectively opening up only the people who seems to have the money and have been very major contributors to their party and their people and their candidates. Yes, a me setup. Okay? Rio, Ivy Star, Chris Blackwell places. Okay? Butch Stewart's places. How did we determine that they were able to comply with COVID-19 again? And how were we asked? Okay. Well, actually, Carol, masks are mandatory and 6 feet distance is required. It's not that they're not making it mandatory. It's that it cannot be enforced. You are going to find, folks, that we are going to get more rebellious because you can't keep us locked down. We're not prisoners and we're not slaves. Right now, the way this government is treating us is as if all you want us to do is to get up, go to work, and come home. No social life. Okay? Nothing to do. And the fact that here at Alligator Pond River, people were gathering all this time, and we still have, according to your statistics, zero cases. Either something wrong with the statistics, or we really have zero cases. Now, if we have zero cases, why you going to come mess with Fulwi Beach and Fulwi people them down there? When Fulwi fishermen them go out and catch them fish and them come in, and people need to get them fish, and them just have to gather around so them can get the best quality fish. And they've been doing that all along. And yet still, according to you, we have zero cases. Why am I not so worried about COVID-19, folks? I'm not so worried about it right now because of a couple of things. Number one, I really think our positive cases in Jamaica is a lot more than has been confirmed. Point number two, our hospital beds that were reserved for COVID-19 cases are at 16% occupancy right now and less since the last time. And it's not because of restrictions, it's just because people weren't getting sick from it. Okay? There's only 2 people in ICU from COVID-19. 11 people died here in Alligator Pond within the last 3-4 weeks. 11. Zero from COVID-19. Zero. So, Mr. McKenzie, back to you, son, your statement on Monday. I do hear you about the crowd gathering. It's not a good thing. It's not a safe thing, and I'm not advocating it because even here at Alligator Pond, we have from Port Kaiser all the way down to Alligator Pond by Little Ochi and Oswald and Miss Patty's Food Shop and all of them. But just along the beach line, let's talk about from Oswald coming past the river, just a little bit before, okay? So when you get there, you have almost 2.5 miles of just beach, okay? So there is no excuse for us to be just all gathered at the river. The problem, though, is this, is that to enforce it is possibly the best way to go. Now, how is during the lockdown and the shutdown of these beaches, how did our authorities handle it? They would come to the river once in a while and they would tell the people to leave. Once they're gone, guess what? The people came right back. This was during the shutdown, you know, folks. Then government opened it back, the beaches and the river. They're trying to make it look like because they opened it back up, more people are going to the river and beaches right now. Okay? Junior Little, we don't have zero cases. We don't have zero cases. We have zero confirmed cases. Zero confirmed doesn't mean we have zero. You're going to have zero if you test zero. Nobody has been tested here. That's the point I'm making. It's not that we have zero cases. The statistics are wrong. They're only testing people from certain sections of society. Whether they show symptoms or not, they're getting tested. And of course, they're going to get positives. Why? Because a major percentage of the virus is asymptomatic, which means you don't show any symptoms, you don't get sick, and you recover from it. That's the point I'm trying to make, Junior. So the question that you ask, so we have zero cases and he's trying to keep it that way. What's wrong with that? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him trying to keep it at zero. What I'm saying is that even if it is zero or not zero, the fact of the matter is, has not changed here in Alligator Pond before, during, or after the restrictions. So, if it is truly zero, then that's because it ain't ever going to be above zero here. Because it's not that people didn't bring it in here, and it's not that it wasn't possible to be caught here. Junior, you know Alligator Pond just as much as I do. 8 out of every 10 people that come to Alligator Pond is not from Alligator Pond. Today, by the river, there's about 200 and something people over there. Okay? I could see it from my balcony. I don't go over there because I have a whole lot of space where I am. I don't have a problem in COVID-19 compliance because I have a whole lot of land space on the river and the sea that hardly anybody ever comes to. What you got to understand is that the amount of people that were over there today and last Sunday that Mr. McKenzie talked about, 90% of them come from places and workplaces and places that are already open. So if the virus was going to spread, it went spreading them, the workplace, and those facilities before it was spread here. Because when I spoke to some people came over, I have a facility here, folks, that I'm taking over, okay, which is the Sea Rib Guest House Bar and Grill. Come July 1st, I'm going to be the proud, at least, and going to be managing and running the property. And yes, it's a guest house, and yes, it has a bar, and yes, it's on the river. None of the COVID-19 restrictions are going to affect me, even if they close down the river. It's not, because this is private property, and as long as I keep within the scope of what restaurants, guest houses are allowed to do, I don't have anything to worry about. So don't think for one moment that I have any special interest here, because I don't. My only special interest is that the beaches need to be enjoyed because they're safe. You're a lot safer than the places that you're leaving open that's still crowded. Thank you, Glenn Roy, for that comment. Great point, brother. Okay. The thing is, I'm looking at it, folks, from fairness, from logic, and from just plain old common sense. Of the 200 and something people that was over here by the river today, by my guesstimate, it may have been more. It wasn't less, I can guarantee you that. The ones that came over here to either use my facility here, well, not mine yet, but will be, or you are bought a drink in the bar that, yes, I am selling out of right now, and just wanted to get away from the crowd and come hang out here for a little bit. They did. 90% of them were not even from Alligator Pond area. When I asked them where they're from, Mandeville, Kingston, St. Andrew, St. Catherine, St. James, Trelawney. Yeah, those parishes I just called off. The highest rate of COVID-19 in Jamaica by confirmed cases are from those parishes. Those folks have a much better chance of contaminating the co-workers of the places that the government just opened up and not going to close back down, but they're now thinking of closing down the beaches. So if you'd like to chime in, I'll give it a break. If not, I'm going to keep on talking. On CRS, you're listening to Caribbean Radio Show on Facebook. Hook us up on crsradio.com. That's the group. Join the group, and you can see all the other shows that are on, you know, Facebook. No, Carol, Alligator Pond has zero case, confirmed case. They don't have any confirmed cases in Alligator Pond. So it's the Caribbean Radio Show, folks. And thank you for joining us on the chat line. That's 1965. Thanks for joining me tonight. But the thing is that, you know, hook us up if you really feel like you might have something to say and want to talk to me about it. It's, once again, 661-467-2407. Press 1 on your phone if you want to talk to me. All right? I'll be very happy to talk to you guys about this. If you have a contrasting view that you'd like to talk to me about, I would definitely want to talk to you. Okay? The fact is, and let's just talk about the facts. Western Union is still open. Mandeville is still open. Kingston is still open. My very team member here at C-Rib had to go to Kingston because he has a sister that is ill, not with COVID-19, by the way, that he had to take to KPH. Okay? The thing is that the people that, when he went there and he was driving through, he says he could not believe the crowd just to get down because he had to go downtown. Okay, Junior, but you have an interest in the more people that come to the beaches, the more customers you have. So how can you say that opening or closing of the beach will not affect you? Guess what, buddy? If they close the beach, the customers are going to come to my establishment. That's how. Because my establishment is a private. It will be when I take it over. Don't try to make a point, Junior, just to back up whatever you think you're thinking. And call me if you want to talk about this. 661-467-2407. If the police came down to Alligator Pond today and closed the beach and the people wanted somewhere to go, they couldn't stop them from coming over to my place because it's a private property and I'm allowed to be open. They could only close the beach. So I would make more money, Junior. Me about my special interest because I have none. As a matter of fact, if I had a special interest, I would pray for them to come close the beach down because the customers that didn't want to go home, they could come to my facility and they could spend money here. I hope you understand that. Okay? I don't mean to sound as angry about it, but Junior, what you're actually trying to do right now is you're trying to make a point that I have a special interest here in what I'm saying. But everything that you're suggesting right now, if they came down and closed the beach down today, I would make more money. So suck that up. Okay? Glenroy, you're absolutely right. And that's the whole point that I'm making here tonight. Glenroy Lyle is saying, them just want to hold down small business, people, especially community tourism. And that is the absolute truth and fact, and that's why I'm bringing you this show here tonight. Because the fact is, where they opened up, and where the tourists were allowed to go today, they can't do any more to control COVID-19 spread than we can right now. As a matter of fact, we can do a better job. Why? Less people stay with us, so we have less gathering. In an eco-community type environment, the villas, it's a family that's going to stay there. And that family is in a villa by themselves. And guess what? They also live together within and not within the social distancing spaces either. Same thing on the beaches. When most people that come to the beaches are together as family for the most part. At their homes, what do you think them do? Them 50 yards away from each other? No, they're not. So the fact of the matter is, don't give me that, because guess what? When them have to get up in the morning and go to work, if them have to go to Alarica to work tomorrow, the people that they're going to be working around is a lot more crowded than the beaches here in Alligator Pond or anywhere else in Jamaica for that matter. But guess what? Them still have to go to work. So they're opening that up because of the, and I get that. I totally understand that the economy needs to get moving. But why is the government of Jamaica picking on entertainment and social activity? Because entertainment and social activity has no more of a probability of spreading this virus than the workplace does. The workplace has more chance of spreading this virus activity. Most social activities are outdoors. If you're outdoors, chances of passing virus from one to the other is less likely. Not saying it's not going to happen, but it's less likely. Carol, there's no testing sites in Alligator Pond or anywhere else in Jamaica for that matter. The reason, the way the testing is done in Jamaica is that the government finds a set of people who they think is going to be able to have it, like the people coming in from abroad right now, and so they test them. The only testing that's done in Jamaica is if you get sick or you're showing symptoms and you go to a doctor and it's reported, so they test you and then they do contact tracing and start testing everybody else. This is not just Jamaica, though. That's how it's being done everywhere. The fact is, that's why the statistics are wrong. But the statistics being wrong is not the alarming part of this, because it's nothing to be alarmed about. Why am I saying that? Because despite the fact that in Mandeville there's been no social distancing observing, in Kingston, sure as hell there was no social distancing being observed. In Junction, it isn't. 90% of people not wearing masks, and the 10% not wearing it, not even wearing it properly. So don't, you know, the no testing and the testing, this, that's my whole point of this show, is that the testing is selective to make a case. And the case that the government and the ministry is trying to make is of a special interest nature. The prime minister is gearing up to call an election. So what does he do? Holding this situation over us, while making a few changes to appease the voters to try to get reelected. But, Mr. Prime Minister, don't forget that that's the same thing that happened to the previous administration, you know. It wasn't about you being the better man for the job. It was about the fact that the poor people, like Glenn Roy said, the poor people are being left out. Thank you for that comment, Lenroy. And that's a fact, because the only people that's benefiting from the opening up right now is the rich people. So no matter how you look at it, Junior, Little, Carol, Lenroy, Barbara, all of you out there watching me right now and listening to this show, at the end of the day, okay, it's the rich that's benefiting from what the government is opening up. The poor people are suffering. Eco-community tourism is suffering. Nobody, everybody has been able to question you know, the motives, because they know I'm an advocate of eco-community tourism. Question my motive. Is it because of my passion for eco-community tourism? Yes. But even with eco-community tourism, if there was a problem with opening up that I felt would put ourselves and our lives and our citizens and our community in danger, okay? Junior Little, just hop off of my case and let me motor run. Listen to me. Do you live here? Are you by the river? Are you by the beach? No. The people that go to the river don't come over here. The people that come over here is the people that don't want to go to the river. What part of that you don't understand? Why don't you just call me and let's talk it out? When the beach is closed, my customers still come in here. You know why they still come in here? Because they want to come down to the river. They want to hang out by the river. They don't have to go in the river. They just want the vibes. Nobody that has been coming down here to this place, nobody actually wants to go over to the river. They want to come here to be by the river. And no shutdown can stop them. 20-something people have stopped here today to have some fish and drink some liquor and stuff right here. They didn't even go in the water. So I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know where you live or live right here, or if you understand what's going on. But you need, if you really want to continue to interrupt this show with these comments, then what I suggest to you is that you come down here yourself and sit down here for a week and see. And stop trying to make this look like I'm making a special interest case here. Because I'm not. I'm fighting for the people's rights and what the people deserve. And I'm not being politically biased about this either. Okay? It's about Jamaica and Jamaicans and the poor Jamaicans that are suffering because of these inconsistent decisions being made. The fact of the matter is community tourism is the sustainable way to go. But community tourism does not provide money to the wealthy. It provides money to the local communities. And if we here in the local communities want to take the risk, why aren't you giving us a chance to do it? You're forcing people in areas where there have already been high levels of infection to take the risk, to go to work. But you don't want to even give us a chance over here on the South Coast. Not even me. I'm talking places like Jake's, Jack Spratt, Wyatt's Walls, Pelican Bar, Lover's Leap, Guts River, Mandeville. Those places where people can't even go sit down in a restaurant and eat anymore. But the ones that are still sitting down in restaurants and eat, they don't have COVID-19. So that's the point that I'm trying to make tonight, folks, and that's what I'm trying to, you know. Junior, when closed, all beaches, Alligator Pond Beach and River was still full. Leon, I'm trying to make that point, that even when all the beaches were closed, Alligator Pond Beach and River was still in full activity. We did not shut down here. People kept coming. I, as a matter of fact, folks, listen to me. I'm going to confess. There's times that I actually call the police because of the crowd that was over there, because, as I said earlier in the show, I was concerned when this thing first came out. But if you're a statistician and you look at the statistics as how they've come out, the fact of the matter is Jamaica has more than an 80% recovery rate from the cases. And the fact that we are still recording zero in Alligator Pond, not because they're zero, but because we have not been tested, that means we're not getting secure either. If you go to Junction on any given day and you see what happened in Junction on a daily basis, I went to Mandeville day before yesterday, and you wouldn't believe it. fact of the matter is, folks, that's how it is. So if you want to talk a little bit about it, once again, here's the number. Go to my page. You'll see the link. It's 661-467-2407. My perspective. I got about 19 minutes left on this show tonight. I might sound a little bit angry tonight, and in some ways I am. I might sound a little bit antsy, and yes, I am. But I am confused. And as I wrap this show up tonight, and may wrap up with a couple of musical hits after this, I would like to just summarize the points that I was making. The first point is before COVID-19, during COVID-19, and now after the openings up, things never really changed here. We still pretty much continued our lifestyles as we wanted to. A lot of us, we just felt passionately about what we wanted to do. Some of us was just, some of us, we didn't even know that the beaches were closed. We thought the beaches were only closed over Easter weekend. Some of us is, we're just saying that, no, you can't keep us on a lock and key like that. Okay? But a lot of us made sacrifices, including myself, made sacrifices. Now that we're opening up, take those sacrifices into consideration rather than rewarding even the very ones that actually, like Alorica, the call center that you reopened, that had the biggest epicenter. They're allowed to do business and go about their merry way and contaminate again. And, you know, many of those Alorica workers end up here and alligator pond every week. So when you come to me and you try to tell me that it is in the name of safety that the government of Jamaica is doing this because they don't want the spread of the virus and they want to get rid of COVID-19, it's hard for me to grasp and accept that, seeing when the minister is trying to threaten to close down again an area that has maintained zero infections, according to their statistics, for the last 4 months. Zero. And while maintaining zero, our lifestyle didn't change one bit down here. The setups were still going on, the dead yards were still going, the funerals were still going on, the baptisms were still taking place down here. And like Junior was insinuating a while ago, my business, which by the way, folks, I don't have a business here yet. Okay? It's not even open. Okay? And when it is open, it's not going to be outside of the restrictions that COVID-19 rules are. And make no mistake, I ain't going to get any more customers because I'm not going to get any less customers if they close down the river or the sea. As a matter of fact, I get more customers. The problem is this, is that when you open up areas in which the possibility of picking up the virus is higher risk than this that you're trying to close down, tells me that there has to be a reason for it. Either you got it wrong or for economic reasons only and not considering the social well-being of the population of this country. And to keep the population of this country restricted, the most of the population restricted while opening up for a few is not going to bear well, Mr. Prime Minister, and it's going to create additional problems. Curfews were extended time-wise to accommodate who? To accommodate control of the spread? What's curfew tonight? 10 p.m. Okay? Nobody not to get up on the stage till past 9 o'clock unless it's a Bass Odyssey or a Star Lord concert going around. The basis of the curfew and the curfew hours have always, from day one, been geared towards, okay? Been always been geared towards the workplace and the workplace environment and the economy. Because you setting a curfew from 6, then to 8, then to 10, okay? Doesn't help one bit to contain a spread. What it helped to do was to give the big businesses an opportunity to make more money. That's all you did. Because that spread not contained anymore. So, folks, I'm asking you tonight, you listen to this show. I'm going to be wrapping up shortly. You listen to what I said. Thank you, Glenn Roy. Glenn Roy's comment is, you're not angry, it's just that you're very passionate about your dreams of eco-community tourism, of which I really am a supporter, and it can significantly add value to the development of our community. Okay? And, by the way, Junior, Len Roy doesn't have anything to gain from eco-community tourism. He's just a community member that cares about his community and sees what's going on in his community and lives in his community. He lives over in Nain. Actually, no, he lives up in the Southfield area, but he has a store down here in Nain that supplies to locals only. So the thing is that understanding, folks, to understand it, you have to live it. To understand it, you have to know that it's what you see happening around you. And every that I see going on here today with what, and remember, folks, and those of you who have been listening to my show for some time right now, you're very welcome, Marvin. Some of us who have been listening to my show for a long time right now, remember how supportive I was and took a lot of flack for being so supportive of Prime Minister Holness. I will tell you, I am actually affiliated with the opposition, and I have had many members of the party that I am affiliated with come out and ask me, why are you switching sides? And I always say to them, when they ask me that, is, look, I might support a party, but first and foremost, I'm Jamaican, and I care about what happens to Jamaica first and foremost of a party any day of the week. Okay? Because right now I have a People's National Party member of parliament, and if him don't start talking out like I'm talking out right now, I may vote the other party next election. Just to switch, just to make my point. So it's not about party. It's about what's right for the people of Jamaica. And to unfairly subject us and suppress us and come down on lockdown with beach, which by your statistics, no COVID-19, because even if the people, which is 9 out of every 10 that come down here to this river, is not from this area, if them get it and take it back, or they would have find it already, and would have started contact tracing. So obviously, that is not the reason. And I challenge you, Mr. Prime Minister, I challenge you, Ms. Minister of Local Government, and Dr. Christopher Tufton, I know you're doing it from a health perspective, and I support your position. Okay? But what I challenge is what the real motives are here. And from what I can see, I'm going to summarize it like this. Okay? Economics has taken precedence even over the health of people when it comes to COVID-19. Why? Because if COVID-19 was the issue, this shutdown thing, you'd have shut everything down and keep it shut down if it wasn't for economics. Second thing is, I suspect because during COVID-19 shutdowns, the crime rate in Jamaica fell. So I suspect that we have now started to use COVID-19 as an excuse. Mr. Prime Minister, I'm wrapping up my show right now. Those of you who may want to appeal, the website that the government of Jamaica, okay, it's the OPM Office of the Prime Minister. You can go to that website, go to the Google it, OPM Office of the Prime Minister of Jamaica, go to the website, go to the contact here button, and contact and write an email, either supporting or opposing what I say. I go for free speech. I just don't like when people try to intimidate me by making accusations about my motives. Because I have no motives here except to fight for what's right for the people of Jamaica and the sustainability of eco-community tourism and what the government of Jamaica is doing right now. And if you check with anybody in the tourism industry that is unbiased, they'll tell you that what the government is doing right now is unfair to eco-community tourism. It's going to bankrupt a lot of the businesses that does that type of business. And what is that going to do? Create prime possibility, just like Bud Stewart just bought out a couple of them hotels and have bought out quite a few of those hotels that can't survive, if you want the truth. Google it, look it up. Yes, there's a guest that was coming down to Jamaica in July, still coming. She had a reservation at one hotel. They canceled her reservations because Bud Stewart bought out that hotel and he's not opening it back up until a certain time. So she has been channeled into other hotels that is opened up by the government. Junior Little, you obviously was not listening to me because I just challenged the MP not even 5 minutes ago where I said, if I don't hear my MP talking on our behalf, that I will vote against him, even though he's part of my party. So obviously, my friend, you were not listening to what I was saying. Once again, your statement shows that, basically speaking, your attack on me here tonight is because you are politically biased. And I'm going to make that accusation now because guess what? I am just so tired of everything that I say you try to put it. The people out there listening to me right now heard me say not even 10 minutes ago that my MP, who is affiliated with the party that I support, if he doesn't come for the next election. So thank you, sir, for showing me and showing your true colors. Because I just said it not even 10 minutes ago. Well, you might not have heard it, but Marvel heard it. Glenn Roy heard it. So obviously, other people listening to this show heard it. So what were you doing? Folks, I'm about to wrap up tonight. I hope you enjoyed this or at least got some information from this. Okay, I hope you understand. My appeal here is for fairness for all people, not just a few people. Okay, fairness in making decisions. Okay, fairness in helping us accomplish what we all as Jamaicans deserve, and that is fair treatment and not specialized treatment based on what our wealth is or what the situation is or what our status is in our society. And I'm appealing to all, okay, to make it known. Okay, I get that, Lenroy. Yes, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to spoil my efforts. And I you know what? It's always good to have somebody like him here, because it actually emphasizes the points that I'm making. Okay? So, yes, I hear you 100%. And you're absolutely correct about that, sir. That's exactly what he's trying to do. And, folks, as I leave this show tonight, I'm going to ask you to join me in my appeal. Okay? And help us to bring this. I suspect strongly that Prime Minister Andrew Holness, who, by the way, folks, I have a lot of respect for, Minister Christopher Tufton, I have a significant amount of respect for that man, okay? I know that the government is probably getting ready to call an election soon. I think, however, that he's making the same mistake that Madam Portia Simpson made in thinking that calling this election early, because if he waits until September to call it, okay, he's not going to be able to. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, Glenn Roy. Junior, I gave you the number about 60 million times tonight. It's only about 3 minutes left in the show. I'm actually wrapping up, so makes no sense me giving you the number again tonight. Folks, I thank you all for joining me. I saw that a lot of people joined me here tonight. I had a great time trying to explain my passion to you. Thanks for the supporters out there. And Julia, thank you for your opposing views and your biased views and in my view. But we're going to be here again next Sunday night, folks. And hopefully Monday's press conference with the Prime Minister is going to make me come back and say, thank you, Mr. Prime Minister, just like I did when he opened up the beaches. Okay? And I'll probably be very supportive of his position when he does that. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you all tonight with one of my favorite artists and one of my favorite songs, Mr. Chronic. Folks, thanks for joining me. Appreciated it. Have a great night. Nice being with you all tonight. Good night.
I'm here for you, Jamaica. What must I try? Oh,